Everybody knew that he did not do any serious drinking glass by glass at the bar, but bottle by bottle, that he did not buy individual drinks for his friends, but let them drink as deeply as they would from whatever container chanced then to be in hand, and his vast popularity gave him a sound excuse to begin his bottle buying at the start, instead of waiting until he got back to Strongheart's. He bought, then, several or many bottles and tins in each place, instead of a single drink. And, since everybody knew for a fact that he was a practically bottomless drinker, who was even to suspect that he barely moistened his gullet while the hangers-on were really emptying the bottles, cans, and flagons? And during his real celebration at Strongheart's, while he drank enough, he did not drink too much. He waxed exceedingly happy and frolicsome as before. He was as profligate, as extravagant in tips. He had the same sudden flashes of hot anger. He fought enthusiastically and awkwardly, as Wild Bill Williams did, although only once or twice that time, and he did not have to draw his delameter at all, he was so well known and so beloved. He sang as loudly and as raucously, and with the same fine taste in madrigals. Therefore, when the infiltration of thought-screened men warned him that the meeting was about to be called, Kinnison was ready. He was, in fact, cold sober when he began his tuneful last two bottles trip up the street, and he was almost as sober when he returned to base, empty of bottles and pockets, to make the usual attempt to obtain more money from Strongheart, and to compromise by taking his farewell chew of Bentlib instead. Nor was he unduly put out by the fact that both Strongheart and the Zwillnick were now wearing screens. He had taken it for granted that they might be, and had planned accordingly. He seized the packet as avidly as before, chewed its contents as ecstatically, and slumped down as helplessly and as idiotically. That much of the show at least was real. 24 units of that drug will paralyze any human body, make it assume the unmistakable pose and stupefied mien of the Bentlib eater. But Kinnison's mind was not an ordinary one. The dose which would have rendered any bona fide miner's brain as helpless as his body did not affect the lensman's new equipment at all. Alcohol and Bentlib together were bad, but the lensman was sober. Therefore, if anything, the drugging of his body only made it easier to dissociate his new mind from it. Furthermore, he need not waste any thought in making it act. There was only one way it could act now, and Kinnison let his new senses roam abroad without even thinking of the body he was leaving behind him. In view of the rigorous orders from higher up, the conference room was heavily guarded by screened men. No one except old and trusted employees were allowed to enter it, and they were also protected. Nevertheless, Kinnison got in by proxy.